I'm going to just read out a passage. You could maybe stay standing while I read out this passage, and then I'll draw a few thoughts from it. John 21. After this, Jesus revealed himself again to the disciples by the Sea of Tiberias. And he revealed himself in this way. Simon Peter, Thomas called the twin, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two others of his disciples were together. And Simon Peter said to them, "I'm going fishing." They said to him, "We'll go with you." They went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Just as day was breaking, Jesus stood on the shore. Yet the disciples didn't know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to them, "Children, do you have any fish?" They answered him, "No." He said to them, "Cast the net on the right side of the boat, and you will find some." So they cast it, and now they were not able to haul it in because of the quantity of fish. That disciple whom Jesus loved therefore said to Peter, "It's the Lord." When Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on his outer garment, for he was stripped for work, and threw himself into the sea. The other disciples came in the boat, dragging the net full of fish, for they were not far from the land, but about 100 yards off. And when they got out on the land, they saw a charcoal fire in place, with fish laid out on it and bread. Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish that you have just caught." So Simon Peter went aboard and hauled the net ashore, full of large fish, 153 of them. And although there were so many, the net was not torn. And Jesus said to them, "Come and have breakfast." Now none of the disciples dared ask him, "Who are you?" They knew it was the Lord. And Jesus came and took the bread and gave it to them, and so with the fish. This was now the third time that Jesus was revealed to the disciples after he was raised from the dead. Amen. Do you want to sit down for a few minutes? I went out last week. My son lives in Lisbon, so I went out last week to do a bit of DIY. And on the Ryanair flight out there, just felt God gave me this passage. And it's a passage of the Bible that I love. It's one of the most beautiful passages in the Bible. Sometimes it's hard to get a picture. The Bible doesn't say, "Oh, the sky was blue and the grass was so green." And it doesn't speak in that kind of poetic language. But actually this story, it's not hard to imagine what's going on, is it? And Jesus actually making them breakfast on the beach. How amazing. Wouldn't that be an amazing thing? It's a beautiful story. But just a few things out this, the story really jumped out to me. First of all, it says that after this, Jesus revealed himself again to the disciples by the sea. And then the last verse of this passage says, this was now the third time that Jesus was revealed to the disciples after he was raised from the dead. Jesus reveals himself in many ways, doesn't he, to us? Through the word, through maybe sometimes our feelings, sometimes through something somebody says. But in this case, he spoke to them through their circumstances. In fact, he spoke to them through their failure. Very often God speaks to us, doesn't he? More loudly through our failures than our successes. But Jesus revealed himself to them. When we have been doing these meetings, we weren't quite sure what what to call them when we started. And Jules said he announced it to the congregation at Chalk Farmers, Deeper Waters. So we kind of hung on to that name. And that's a good name, isn't it? And it's actually very relevant to this because we want deeper waters. We've all done a little fishing over the years, haven't we? And maybe we've caught a few fish and maybe one or two big fish. But this was a big catch. And I think God is saying to us tonight, there is much, much more. And that's why we're bothering to pray here tonight, isn't it? So Jesus revealed himself in this way to them. What are we praying for tonight? We put on a little card. We're praying for revival. Now, what does this word revival mean? It's a word actually that I don't often use because it's a bit of a discredited word. It's a word that people don't understand. Sometimes they think revival is something you have in America every year and you have your Bush Arbor thing and everybody comes and you get revived again. And no doubt there's some good in that. But to me, it just means God doing a lot of stuff. God doing a lot of things. And somehow it involves a revelation of Jesus. And very often a revelation of the cross. And it's often when, you know, people talk about revival, when God does a lot in the church. And then not only in the church, but through the church. And he does magnificent things in the world. So that's what we're here tonight for. That we as churches together will see a great harvest. Many of us here have been sowing in this area for many years. But I have not given up the hope that there is a harvest. And I'm trusting that it'll be in my lifetime. And that God is going to do this great thing. The other passage, when Peter saw all this happening, I think he had a sense of deja vu because it had already happened, hadn't it? I think it was in Luke's gospel, right at the beginning of the 3.5 years of Jesus' ministry. And they were out in the boat and they were fishing. They'd fished all night and Jesus came and he said, do it this way. Just do it again. And that was when Peter first really met Jesus and fell down in the ship and said, my Lord and my God, depart from me, I'm a sinful man. So he'd actually had this before. And that's maybe why it says Jesus revealed himself again. How many of us this evening want Jesus to reveal himself again? I do. I've been caught up today getting this talk ready, trying to get the overheads ready, cobble together the IT. And I said as I came tonight, God, please don't let all my preparations get in the way of me receiving something from you. Because I need Jesus to reveal himself to me again. And he revealed himself in this way. Every day it's a different way, but this was the way. In verse 3, Peter said to them, and this is a verse that jumped out to me. He said, I'm going fishing. He didn't ask Jesus. He just said, come on, let's go fishing. I think that's what it says in another version. Let's go fishing. We got nothing else to do. Jesus has died. I'm discouraged, but we know how to fish. So let's just go fishing. And they said, good idea, Peter, because he was a leader in whatever state he was. So they just followed him. And they just said, we'll go with you. They went out in the boat and that night they caught nothing. Absolutely nothing. Jesus arranged that they would catch nothing that night. And maybe some of us are going through some difficult things here. Some of us, we all have trials, don't we? Some of them last a long time. But God is doing something in our trials. And Jesus, he was just standing on the beach watching them fail. He was there, but they didn't know he was there. And isn't that good to know that he never fails us? He never leaves us. He never forsakes us. Whether we feel him or see him or he's doing something or nothing's happening, he is still there if we will seek him, if we will respond to him. Children, he said. I love the way he calls them children. They wouldn't take that from everybody, would they? They had a clue that it was Jesus. Children, do you have any fish? He knew the answer, but he wanted to hear it from them. And I believe that revival starts, any kind of reviving in our hearts, any returning to God in our hearts, start when we say, no fish. I've dried up, it's not working, it's not like it used to be, I can't pray like I used to pray, when I don't want to talk to people about you like I used to talk to people about you, there's nothing. He wants that admission. And then he said to them, okay, if you're being honest now, cast the net on the right side of the boat and you'll find some. It could have been the left side, but it was the right side. And we don't know what side it is. And I believe all of us, and especially leaders in the churches, we've got to kind of get to that place where we don't just say, let's go fishing. We actually stop. Jesus, what are you saying? And we wait. And he's saying, the right side of the boat. And that's where the fish were. So they cast it out and they weren't able to haul it in because of the quantity of fish. And then the disciples whom Jesus loved, who we know was John, who was writing this, said to Peter, it's the Lord. Obviously, it's the Lord. And then Peter, as we know, does something crazy as usual. I love the fact that Jesus got Peter to lead the early church, because he always did crazy things. And so he puts on, normally you'd take off your coat, wouldn't you, to jump in the water, but he puts his coat on and he rushes out to see Jesus. And the others, they came in and they were more practical, dragging the net of fish. And then we have the charcoal fire and Jesus having made a fire for them. And in this admission of no, and this miracle that Jesus did, it opens up a conversation. And there were so many things he wanted to do in their hearts. Peter was discouraged. Three times he'd said to that woman, I don't know this man. He'd even cursed. And he felt terrible. He must have felt so discouraged. And so Jesus said three times, do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me? And he used this opportunity of this revelation of his greatness to heal Peter and to get him back on his feet and give him a vision. And maybe that's where some of us are tonight. 1860, not so long ago. I mentioned this revival. Do you know, in January of 1860, there were some prayer meetings in Islington. Joe was reading out to me, the guy who was describing the history of the 1859 revival. In Islington, there were a few prayer meetings going on for revival and the outpouring of God's Spirit all over Islington. Do you know how many prayer meetings there were in that January 1860? Who'd like to hazard a guess? No prizes. Who's going to start? 20? Higher? 30? More?
100.
More?
500.
200. Very good. There were 200 prayer meetings because God had put a hunger in God's people to pray and to cry out for the outpouring of his Spirit. And so that's what we're doing tonight. I want to just finish with the thought. I've studied this verse. I've prayed it. I've read it. I've thought about it. I've preached on it so many times. In 2 Chronicles 7:14, if my people who are called by my name will, four things, who humble themselves, pray, seek my face, turn from their wicked ways, I will. And you find that in Deuteronomy, you find it in Leviticus, you find it in the New Testament. The principles are the same. And the first one is recognizing that we have a great need. That's the humbling. And true humility will always lead to prayer. If we're not praying, we're proud. I could say that to you guys because you already know it. That's why we're here tonight. There's a humility, there's a recognition that we need more. So tonight we start with humility. We're saying, no, we haven't got enough fish, we need more. And then I believe out of that prayer, God will put a seeking in our hearts. Honestly, am I a seeker of God? Not really. I find it hard to pray, and there'd be been times in my life where there's been more of a hunger. But as we humble ourselves, as we pray, I believe God will put in us more of a seeking. And then we will turn from our wicked ways. There will be things in our lives that God says, if you want to walk with me, you can't have that. And we will turn from our wicked ways and we will obey him. And maybe that process will just start tonight. So let's pray, shall we? Steph, do you want to join me? Let's just close our eyes. Lord Jesus, we're just here to wait on you. There's nobody special. We are all the same. We are all tarred with the same brush. We are all in need of your Spirit, Lord. None of us can do this ourselves, Lord. Our history is no good to us today. The successes of the past, we can't wave them at you and say, that's how it's always going to be. Lord, today we need you. We need you, Lord, we need you. We just come to you humbly tonight and we confess. Maybe some fish, maybe a few fish, and we're grateful for the fish that you've used us to catch, Lord. But we know there's 153 waiting out there that you have chosen, big fish. And you're going to do it in such a way that it won't break us, Lord, because it'll be you, Lord. Father, tonight we pray for a revelation of Jesus Christ. Even tonight as we wait before you, would you birth something new in our hearts? Would you do a new thing, Lord? Would you do a great thing? In the passage in Luke, the parallel passage, it talks about how when their nets were breaking, they called out to their partners and they came out in another boat to get that great catch. And I believe this is God speaking about other churches. It's not about our church. It's about the church. It's about his church and about us partnering together. And in these last 10 years, it's been wonderful to see the churches emerging in this area. These guys here, ourselves that are here tonight, St. Luke's, others as well, God is doing something. And Father, we just want to be part of what you are doing tonight. Amen.